We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Conference Finals beginning day today. Going to talk some baseball, though, as the Brewers get a win over the Phillies yesterday. And you get Keston Hura comes up, gets a couple of base knocks along the way. This portion of the program, by the way, brought to you by our friends over there at Quick Trip. And at Quick Trip, they remind you that, hey, if you're a professional driver, you're cruising around out there, they first of all want to say thank you. And second of all, they want to reward you. That's right. They want to reward you. Professional drivers get rewarded for filling up your tank with a new Quick Rewards fleet card from Quick Trip and Quick Star. You can receive a point for every gallon. You can earn free fountain drinks, coffee, showers with the amenities at certain locations. With just 50 gallons of diesel or CNG or DEF, you can get up to 4x point multipliers. And you can pick up a card at any Quick Trip or Quick Star diesel store or download the Quick Rewards fleet app. And then track your points, track what you're getting online, all that kind of good stuff, and you're good to go. By the way, today only, $1.29 pizza slices right now, or the Cheese Mountain pizzas. They have those at over at Quick Trip and Quick Start. Stop in and grab that for yourself. Seth Evett, our National Baseball Insider from Forbes.com, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Seth, how you doing?
I am good. No longer with Forbes, by the way. I meant to tell you that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you're moving all over the place. You're always going up in the world.
Yeah, that's okay. What's going on, my friend?
Well, we're just kind of, you know, waiting to see if the Brewers are going to eventually kind of take off. You know, I mean, it's been, they got off to a fast start, slowed down a bit. Now they're jostling the thing again as, you know, Keston Hura, the top prospect, comes up and looks good last night. So everybody's got him penciled in for the Hall of Fame. you know, that's the way it goes, you know, in a fast food world. But I'm just kind of watching, you know, as you and I have talked, you really don't pay attention to the standings until Memorial Day. Right?
I try not to. I watched a little of the Cubs series. I saw the Saturday game pretty extensively. I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to watch the day game between the Brewers and Phillies. That knocks out two teams that I really have affinity for, so that's easy. You know, they're not playing well. They're not playing that poorly. It's you know, it's a mishmash, and you know, you're not playing the Nationals anymore.
Right.
Like, we have to acknowledge the opponent. I think that's the biggest thing. I didn't like what I saw on social media after the Monday night game, and all I'm thinking to myself is, you know, the Phillies are supposed to go to the playoffs too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you're going in this weekend to play Atlanta, and I know they've scuffled so far, but there's talent there too. So I don't know. It's just, when you look at the numbers, just watch who the opponent is. If this is going to be a team that plays 500 ball against good teams and dominates bad teams, you go to the postseason.
I find it interesting that Philadelphia, they spent all the money on Bryce Harper. We know that. But we were talking to – who were we talking to yesterday, Joe, from Philadelphia, from the Whip down there?
Joe Giglio.
My boy. That's Joe Giglio. Good buddy of mine.
Couldn't think
of
his name off top – or his last name off top of my
Giglio,
head. I
want to screw up.
Giglio. So, and he's saying, you know, hey, look, there's obviously a marketing value down here. There's, you know, a Bryce Harper fan favorite immediately, but he's been booed by Philly fans. And I looked at his numbers and I thought, you know what?
They're biased.
will the real Bryce Harper please stand up? He's had some really good seasons. Don't get me wrong, but he's also had some pedestrian seasons, and you paid him a lot of money. Is this the real Bryce Harper?
He hasn't had a good batting average since 2015.
Right.
But my favorite, and I think Joe Giglio retweeted this, and that's why I saw it, is someone wrote, I have not seen Bryce Harper look this bad at the plate in his career. And all I wanted to say to that Philly person was, how many Nationals games did you see?
Correct.
Like, don't watch him for 6 weeks and say, oh, this is as bad as it gets for him. Like, he's pressing. I get it. He's pressing. He has not hit for average. He has done something with his mechanics that has he's trying to drive the ball, and he's becoming a feast or famine hitter. I don't know if that's because he saw Chris Bryant have success or Aaron Judge have success, but he's trying that. I think if he shortens his swing, he can hit for average. But I'm not a hitting guru. You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is you knew these numbers before you signed him, so who in Philadelphia is surprised?
My point exactly, and when you look at the strikeout numbers, as Giglio pointed out yesterday, the strikeout numbers are, they keep going up every year. They're becoming more and more and more longer, or more and more extended, and yeah, getting more and more at kind of a record pace for him. So I understand, look, you paid a lot of money off of a lot of things that he's done in the past and the expectation he could possibly give you from here on out, but, man, it looks like you're almost throwing fool's gold out there at this point, doesn't it?
Well, here's the thing. You know, a lot of people thought he was better than Trout. He's not.
No.
He's not by a long shot. Are there better players out there? Like, would you rather start a team with Jose Altuve? Probably. You could argue you'd rather have Christian Yelich at this stage in both of their careers. See, the thing about Bryce Harper that people don't forget, because he's only, I think he's 26, is he's been around since he's 18.
Right.
So he's been there for he's an 8-year veteran. Most guys, the average length of careers is 4 years. Like, he's already played 8 major league seasons. He has been around for a long time. And what I think the best thing for him would be to just reassess your mechanics, because I think the talent is still there, but I think this is a mechanical thing. And, you know, Gabe Kapler supposedly knows hitting. That's what everybody tells
me.
You know, figure it out. Like, figure out this guy, because you have a lot invested in him. But more, forget the money. They have a lot invested in their season. And while I think they will win the National League East, they're not walking away with it. Like, you know who the contenders are by now.
Right.
You know the teams that are having good seasons. And I will make a one tangent note, which is the Kluber injury. You and I haven't spoken since.
Right.
The Kluber injury gives the Minnesota Twins daylight. Like, they now see the AL Central. So there are some drama happening. And if you're the Phillies and you think that you can win this thing just on your lineup alone without a contributing Bryce Harper, you're kidding yourself.
The Realmuto signing is actually going to end up being better. You know what I mean? Just my opinion.
They made a lot of great moves. They
right.
really didn't make a lot of great moves. And they're a good organization. I mean, they're a very healthy organization. I knew their president, who just passed away, Dave Montgomery, real well. I think it's a beautiful ballpark. I love that franchise. You know, my story about them, though, was how, as a unit, they were put together in 2011. Because I worked for them in 2011. And my thought was they were so loyal to their stars that it cost them 3 whole seasons. And only now are you starting to see their rebuild, when in reality, the last time the Phillies were even relevant was 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And I thought they were a great destination for Harper. I think he's happy there. I don't think there's a problem with him and the team or any of that nonsense. And if there is, then Gabe Kapler's not doing his job.
Are they still paying Howard, by the way?
I think it's like Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah. Is Ryan Howard like getting money time until he's 92 or something like that?
Have you seen Ryan Howard?
Didn't he get huge?
No, he got small.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, like small.
Well, it's been a while since I've seen him, but
like scary, like
skinny small.
So obvious
that he's not juicing anymore.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's just call it what it is, right? You know.
My name is Bennett, and I ain't in it.
He quit eating gummies, is
there
what you're saying.
Go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to move over to the Central. Obviously, the Central's still very, very competitive. The Cubs are still on top. You've got the Brewers. I don't think the Reds are much, but what the Reds' run differential like freaks me out that they're this good. Their pitching's been good. Their hitting's been good. They can't stick it together. What is up with that team?
Well, it's weird. It's a young team, and they've got flashes. And what they're doing is they're playing with a lot of heart. And, you know, it's funny. They are – a lot of people that I have talked to are more high on the Reds than the Pirates. And so if the thought is that the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Brewers are still the class of the division, that the Reds are going to be the team that joins them before Pittsburgh will, even though Pittsburgh has a decent record, you know, in the early going so far.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I would say this. The Reds are in a pushover. So, for example, let's use the example. Minnesota's in a dogfight with Cleveland, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are going to need every win against Kansas City and the White Sox that they can get. In the Central, you're going up against two teams that are not pushovers in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And so, for the Brewers, after this trip, I think they come home. Isn't Cincinnati the first opponent?
And Cincinnati is. They only play them a quick two-game series.
But you can't sleep on those games.
Right.
Because that's what decides divisions. The thing about the baseball schedule that I love, and I know someone on Twitter is going to go, oh my goodness, Seth Everett's giving a compliment to baseball. I love the interdivisional play. I love that you play them 19 times each.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the game. Those are the games that will define whether or not you're a playoff contender or not. And the problem with the schedule is you only play the other teams just once. You know, you go, you know, once each, you know, two series. And the problem with that is those are the teams that you're competing for the two wild card positions with.
Right.
You know, what I would do is eliminate a little interleague and give me more series against them so that if you told me that the Brewers are going to play, for example, the Phillies three times instead of twice, I think from a wild card standpoint, that helps. Now, obviously, as a fan, you're saying, well, screw the wild card. I don't want the wild card. The wild card becomes your best friend when you need it.
Hey, real quick before I let you go, I got to hit to the bottom side of baseball. What are they ever going to do with the Miami Marlins? That's a pathetic franchise.
Well, it was dead on arrival because when the Jeter Group bought the team, they were in real bad shape. That ballpark is in the wrong location.
Mm-hmm.
And so it never should have been constructed. And it was the only way they could get public money. You know what I mean, you just saw the Bucks arena. Like, you know what all this politics is.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the only thing that they could bet. And the only reason was because the land, it's the former site of the Orange Bowl.
Right.
Well, on a one day a week on a Saturday, you'll drive to the ends of the earth to go watch a college football game. On a Tuesday night in May, you're not driving on these ridiculous roads that their population increases are in Miami, Lauderdale, and Palm Beach. And the Marlins Stadium is in Little Havana. And it's desolate there. It's run down there. There's nothing to it. And so I would argue, and I kind of side with the Jeter Group that said, if you put Christian Yelich, Giancarlo Stanton, and Marcelo Zuna on that team, you'd maybe get 1,000 more people.
Yeah,
so
it's not like
what's the difference between their record now and what their record could have been? Like a 10 game improvement doesn't bring a person there.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to have a 20 game improvement with no revenue streams, and their television ratings are down.
The only time I ever really found it relevant was when you're driving in from the airport. As far as their stadium goes. I mean, other than that, it was kind of there's the Orange Bowl. And I was down there one time, you know, played there, but it was like, you know.
Well, I tell that story all the time about the day of the All-Star, the workout day. I got there like an hour early, and we were looking for like a Burger King or something just to eat something before we had a marathon press conference.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't something for miles.
Yeah. There's not much down there.
And, like, think about Camden Yards or Coors Field or even Progressive Field in Cleveland or what they're building in Minnesota now with Target Field. Like, all of these things that exist because the ballpark can be a base for a revenue stream, and it's like the opposite in Miami. And that's all before the team. But they fired the broadcasters. They fired a lot of the personnel that people started to like. They changed some aesthetics in the ballpark, and it's not a happy place.
Yeah.
And so all of those things, though, I would say is if you went back in time and you brought all that back, it still doesn't make a difference.
You mean that people aren't going there for the Clevelander?
the nightclub?
The nightclub?
All I know is if you're a single guy at that park and you see a girl that you like, there is a pretty good chance that you will see her again.
You'll see her again, and she's probably chasing a ball player.
Right? Like, if you walk down the concourse and you see this one girl, like, walk down the concourse again. She'll be there.
Yep. She's still just hanging out. Good stuff as always, my friend. We will talk again next week, okay?
Hey, good luck to the Bucks. Can I adopt?
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, all the right. Bandwagon's got plenty of room. There's big shots
in
that.
I'll jump on the bandwagon for 2 weeks. I'll like them for 2 weeks.
We'll welcome you. Seth, you're the man. Talk to you soon.
You got it.
See there you go. Seth Evans, National Baseball Insider, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show, we continue on, man. It is game one, Eastern Conference Finals, getting on the way tonight down at the Fiserv Forum. 7:30 tip time, Toronto Raptors are in town, and I can't wait. Can't wait. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. I've been telling you about this for a while now. And I was at the pump today, spoke with a gentleman who works at a landscape company, who had come over, and we were talking about the unleaded 88, and he was talking, you know, about lawn mowers and all that kind of stuff. And I said, look, with all of this in mind, with E15 and unleaded 88 and everything, they want to let you know the lawn mowers, the garden tractors, the chainsaws, the outboards on the fishing boat, the rototillers, any other small engine for that matter. No. Your car, yeah. Use the unleaded 88, the E15, the flex fuels, whatever it happens to be, if your car is 2001 or newer. But they do not test the small engines in the same way, so do not use it in those. Stick with the E10, okay? That's the ethanol 10%, that type of thing. But when you're filling up the red gas can, choose the regular unleaded. When you're filling up your car or truck, go with the E15 or the flex fuel vehicles. And when you're filling up your lawnmower and garden tractor and chainsaw and all that kind of good stuff, just remember that. Just kind of trying to keep it straight so everybody's on the same page. Nobody's having any issues. Just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. But that's from our friends at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. Go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org. And see for yourself what it is they have going on. 855-830-8648. Those are the phone numbers to get a hold of us. The matchup that intrigues you the most between the Raptors and the Bucks. On the inside, is it Gasol maybe trying to stop Giannis between him and Ibaka? Is it Kawhi Leonard, just who's going to shut down Kawhi Leonard, or even Kyle Lowry? Kyle Lowry going to get off from the outside? Danny Green? You know, is it going to be a guy like Van Vliet coming in and trying to stave off elimination, trying to give you some bucket points there? I mean, what intrigues you the most about this matchup? And I have not had anybody that has called the program or emailed or anything else for that matter that has said, nope, I'm pretty certain that, you know, the Bucks aren't going to win, and here's the reason why. So nobody's done it, which is good. Look, everybody believes the Bucks are going to win this thing. I'm reading some of the national pundits, and most believe it's Bucks in six. By the way, the poll question, when we were talking about this earlier, Joe had posted it, I had posted it, the Bucks win the series in 4 games, 5 games, 6 games, 7 games. 6 games seems to be the most likely by most people, 56% on mine, 348 votes cast. 5 games says 30%. 7 games is at 10% now, and most saying a sweep. Only 4% of you. 4% of you. Jimbo writes in the Wendy's email inbox. He said, hey, guys, I am not fearing Toronto, but Toronto can win. Don't be fooled. They can shoot the ball pretty well, and if you foul them, they are a really good basketball team from the charity stripe. Don't count them out. They are really solid. Let's not overlook the Toronto Raptors just in anticipation of the Golden State Warriors. I completely agree. If the Bucks, in any way, shape, or form, think that this is going to be a cakewalk, they're going to be screwed. It's not. There are no more roll the basketballs out on the floor and go win a game left in this season. None of that. None of it. But Siakam, he can go off. He can get it done. And that game again, and we were talking about this earlier, and that game against the Bucks lost 123-116. That was a Fiserv. Siakam went off, 30 points. Kawhi, 30 points. Serge Ibaka dropped 25 on him. Van Vliet dropped 21 on him. So, but the problem was that the top five, Green, Van Vliet, Ibaka, Leonard, Siakam, they went off. Now, remember, Lowry didn't play in that game, but the bench only scored 5 points. So if you're going to get it done as Toronto, your first five or six are going to have to give you everything they got, and you're going to have to basically have a career series. Because in that game, again, they shot 45.2% beyond the arc, while the Bucks only shot 37.8%, and that's not normal for the Bucks. They also shot 51.2% from the field. The Bucks shot 49.4% from the field. So can the Bucks lose a game? Yes. But will they lose this series? No. The Bucks just have too much. Now, knock on wood, injuries could, you know, hurt if something happens. But to both teams, you know, Kawhi Leonard goes down, that pretty much sinks the hopes of the Toronto Raptors. Same thing. Although I will say this, if say Giannis would go down in this game, God forbid, and it was going to be like a week, I think the Bucks still would win the series. I think the Bucks are that good. I think they're that deep. 855-830-8648. You can give us a shout if you choose to do so, or hit us up on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. You can also find us over on the Facebook fan page. It's facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Find the blue check mark and you're good to go. The radio.com app goes everywhere, and we appreciate it when you take us with you and you favorite us. And that way, anything regarding the show or podcasts or anything like that, it all pops up right there for you. So we appreciate that as well. But you can hit us up on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels. Follow us there. Follow Joe at Radio Joe Sports. When we come back, Eric Name, Milwaukee basketball insider for The Athletic. We're going to ask him, okay, the same question I was asking. Look, I think it's Bucks in five. I really do. If it would be more surprising if Bucks went seven versus four, but I'm saying Bucks in five. Eric Name of The Athletic, we'll touch base with him. We'll get his thoughts. What could possibly go wrong for the Bucks in this series? That's coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Just make everything as difficult on him as possible, but, you know, we won't be the first team to say have said that. You know, this is, you know, they've played Orlando and Philly, and I'm sure they all wanted to make it difficult and hard on him. And, you know, sometimes great players have a way of just finding ways to get things done. So, you know, we're not any different. We'll want to make everything hard. Give them some different looks, throw different bodies at them, and you know, hopefully we can find a way.
Welcome back! Bill Michaels Show continues on. We are glad you are here. That was Budenholzer, head coach of your Milwaukee Bucks, trying to slow down Kawhi, and I don't see any way that this Bucks team loses this series by any stretch of the imagination. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Show. Also of Fun in the Summer and Wednesday Night Live, which is back 2 weeks from tonight at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion. I cannot wait. Rebel Grace takes the stage. It is going to be a good time, and hope to see you out there at some point this musical season. Cannot wait. Bring him in now, Eric Name of The Athletic, Milwaukee basketball insider joining us. Eric, tell me how in the world this Bucks team could lose this series, if at all.
I think it would take a Herculean effort from Kawhi Leonard to really get that done. He's been just a monster offensively this entire postseason, and obviously he's one of the best two-way players in the entire league, so he can do that. But I think the big thing that we've seen thus far this season is that the Raptors haven't really had an answer for Giannis, and we haven't seen Kawhi Leonard try to cover him that much. So if he does end up being someone that can slow Giannis down and make him struggle a little bit offensively. And then on the other side of the ball, he can go out there and put up 40 points or whatever it may be. Like, maybe in that world, like, the Bucks could end up dropping this series to the Raptors, but it is going to require him being fantastic and then, you know, at least one other player with the Raptors having, you know, a series probably somewhere above their head. Like, I do think this Bucks team is better. I picked them in five in my preview at the Athletic. And, you know, I just think we've seen this Bucks team answer the call against the Celtics where they came out and, you know, got punched and just kind of handled it and just rolled through four straight games. And I thought that Raptors team was probably their worst matchup of anyone in the Eastern Conference, and they passed that test. So for me, you know, going into the playoffs, I'd said if they beat the Celtics, they're going to go to the finals, and I still feel that way.
I think this Bucks team's going to win in five. I can see them losing maybe a game. I just can't see them losing more than a game to this. Look, the Raptors are a good team, but I think the Bucks are just that much better and that much deeper, barring injury, right?
Yeah, I lean that way as well. I mean, I think the second most likely outcome is, you know, the Bucks winning this series in seven. So I do think, you know, this Raptors team is more together than just about any team in the league outside of the Bucks, and I think that's been a big part of the Bucks' success is that they've had a clear, consistent vision for the entire season. And the Raptors are very similar in that they knew exactly what they were going to do offensively and defensively throughout the entire year. And I think that helps come playoff time. We saw the Celtics try to build playoff habits in the playoffs, and that just doesn't work. Like, you have to have that stuff kind of ingrained in you. So I do think the Raptors do have some of that. So there is at least the possibility that, you know, we see them pull a couple games from the Bucks and really make this a series. I'm not 100% sure that it'll occur, but and obviously I lean towards the Bucks in five, but the Raptors are, I don't want to undersell just how talented they are. I think Kawhi Leonard's the second best player in the Eastern Conference. I think you look at a guy like Pascal Siakam that really broke out for them. He was fantastic this year. Kyle Lowry is a multiple-time All-Star. Same thing with Marcus Gasol. Like, there is a lot of talent on the roster. I just think this Bucks team matches up pretty well against that Raptors roster.
If you're going to be the Raptors, how are you going to attack the Bucks consistently enough to be able to slow them down or shut them down to where the Bucks just can't get it done?
I think offensively they have to do everything they can to take advantage of Giannis as the roamer that he likes to be. Giannis, obviously, they try to put him against the guy that's the least threatening on the floor and then just let him fly around, block shots, get steals, intimidate, just be this force. So they got to find a way to take advantage of that. And maybe that's Pascal Siakam. He had a career high in the Raptors' lone win against the Bucks this year where he hit a bunch of corner threes. He was able to get the basket. He was really just able to, you know, kind of annoy them throughout the night. And to me, that's the big thing, that defensively they have to make Giannis work. They have to find ways to really make it tough on him to be what he wants to be defensively. And then, I mean, offensively, this Bucks team's really hard to slow down. They're going to make you pick between really walling up against Giannis and then, you know, really kind of kicking the ball out for shooters. And I thought it was interesting talking about Giannis a little bit yesterday. He had mentioned that, you know, the Celtics really went out of their way in game one that wall was going to be strong, that wall was going to be tight, they weren't going to break off of it. And then he could kind of see as the series went on, he was getting through that wall a little bit easier. And part of it was, you know, helpers not quite as confident because the Bucks were in shots. The other part of it was you take a beating if you want to put up a wall against Giannis. He's going to keep running into it. Like, that is just how he's going to approach this. He's going to be aggressive. So you have to be willing to put your body on the line for that long, and that makes it really tough. So I think the only other thing I can really think of is Kyle Lowry leads the postseason in charges drawn at this point. I think he's taken 18 charges at this point. So he's going to do everything he can to jump in Giannis's way, take one on the chest, and try to pick up some early fouls. Marcus Gasol will do the same thing at the center position, which is kind of rare. Most of the time, centers are going to try to challenge Giannis at the rim. So, you know, if those guys can draw some offensive fouls in a couple of these games, maybe that can swing it over into the Raptors' direction.
Talking with Eric Name of The Athletic, our Milwaukee basketball insider. Look, if let's just say Lopez gets it. What is it with Lopez right now? Is it just that he's just struggling, just beyond the arc? Because he just looked terrible against Boston. He had one solid game. The other three were just awful.
Yeah, he's struggling with his shot right now. And really, I think part of it, too, is that Boston has some personnel that can make it tough on him. Obviously, everyone's going to run him off the line. That's what everyone knows at this point. But when, you know, the guy that's doing it is, you know, someone as good as Al Horford, or Aaron Baines is quite good at it, the Celtics put some smalls on him, like, that makes him, it makes it more difficult for him to really get into a comfortable groove as a shooter. And, you know, he just didn't really find it at all during that Celtics series. Where I think it gets interesting in this one is, who do the Raptors put on him? If it's going to be Mark Gasol, he doesn't really have the foot speed to really challenge Brook Lopez. I know there was a stat that I saw yesterday that with Mark Gasol on the Grizzlies, the Bucks were scoring like 123 points per 100 possessions, which is just an astronomical amount. And it was largely because when Brook Lopez was on the floor against Mark Gasol, it was really tough for him, because Gasol had to make a decision between protecting the rim or running out there. Sometimes he would run out there, and then Giannis would get to the basket, or other times he would pack it in, and then Brook Lopez would hit a deep three. I think he puts Gasol kind of in a difficult spot here, where you wouldn't necessarily expect someone who, you know, Gasol was borderline MVP candidate in a couple seasons. He's all-NBA. You wouldn't expect someone as good as Marc Gasol not to have a clear advantage over Brook Lopez, and I think Lopez's shooting at least makes this matchup close, and that is a huge win for the Bucks. That, you know, the Raptors' big acquisition at the trade deadline isn't someone that maybe matches up all that well against the Bucks.
The only thing I can think of that would sideline the Bucks would be is if they play these things on the weekends at 1 o'clock. I mean, that's it. I just don't look. We can talk about all the scenarios and the doomsday scenarios. I just don't see how the Bucks lose this series. I put money on them in five. I just believe that they're going to get this win. Now, coming into tonight's game, they got punched in the nose by Boston in game one after a long rest. They've had a long rest now. Do you see a repeat of that performance? Now, again, that was a 1 o'clock game, but do you see a repeat of that performance?
I don't think they're going to be very good tonight. I think we've heard from Giannis. I was talking to Katie George about this earlier today, and we were trying to figure out how many times in the last 3 to 4 years Giannis has mentioned the fact that he wants to play every other day. Like, that is the schedule that he likes. That's enough rest for him to feel like he's 100% good to go the next day, and it's enough to make sure that he doesn't get out of rhythm. Anything more than that, he doesn't feel like he has a good rhythm, because he hasn't been on a game floor in a long time. And, I mean, this is 6 days of rest. Like, this is a really, really long time for you not to play. So I do think it's going to be interesting to watch kind of how he comes out of the gate, and, you know, how he tries to attack and what kind of flow he has. I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. And then, I mean, the other thing was, you know, Malcolm Brogdon trying to come back. Everyone was talking about, oh, yeah, you know, this is great, more rest for him. But Mike Budenholzer has told us kind of again and again, like, he doesn't need any more rest. Like, he's healthy. He is 100%. He's ready to go. He just needs game reps. So I think I'll be curious to watch how Malcolm Brogdon plays tonight as he tries to get back in the flow of things, because, I mean, maybe an adjustment if the Bucks don't play well tonight is Brogdon back into the starting lineup and Mirotić going back to the bench. Like, that could be a game one to game two adjustment if the Bucks lose tonight, or if the Bucks don't play as well as we think they will. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on that as well.
Awesome stuff. Enjoy the game, and we will talk again soon, okay?
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Appreciate it, Eric. There you go. Eric Name of The Athletic, our Milwaukee basketball insider, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them. 844-PRIDE to go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE to go to SchneiderJobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by New Mail Medical. And if you are suffering from erectile dysfunction, ED, and you'll know if you are, you want to give the medical experts over at New Mail Medical a call. Just call them 414-455-4451. They have a 98% success rate at treating it. Or if you're sluggish, if you're moody, if you don't have stamina, you don't have energy, you're falling asleep, like right about now, maybe you're face first into your laptop, go ahead and give them a buzz. If you're over the age of 30, go get your numbers checked. See if indeed you have low T. They can help you out with that also. But if you're looking outside going 72 degrees, this isn't bad, and you're thinking, okay, T-shirt season, and I look like I'm smuggling a pool toy out from underneath my shirt, yeah, you may want to go ahead and hit the all-in-one weight loss program, and that works as well. All you got to do is commit, and you're good to go 30 days. That's it. 30 days of your life to make yourself better. Jumpstart the new you. That's through New Mail Medical. Call them 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. When we come back, the Bled Show. Going to hear from coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Game day. There is an excitement. You know what? The last time there was this much excitement, probably when the Brewers were going to the NLCS. I have to be honest. I mean, I know people are saying, this is unbelievable. You know what? It is, yes. But there was this kind of excitement last year. You know, I mean, when we were talking Major League Baseball and the Brewers going to the NLCS, and everybody was heading to destinations to try to watch this team. And, you know, Brewers back at it tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. Gio Gonzalez takes the hill tonight against Jake Arrieta of the Phillies, formerly of the Cubs. That's a 6:05 Central Time start time. You get a little bit of Brewers baseball, and you start flipping back and forth because you got Brewers, and you got Bucks starting at 7:30, tipping off down at Fiserv Forum tonight. So a lot of excitement there. But this is game day. It's game day, baby. The Bled Show, excited for today.
It's exciting. You know, I think everybody here, you know, ready to get the game started, you know, Wednesday. You know, but at the same time, we want to, you know, stay, you know, in a good place.
Stay in a good place. He's absolutely right. You don't want to get too high because when you come out and you start, you know, getting a little frustrated, your energy just doesn't, or your performance doesn't match your energy, you can go, you know, kind of go downhill rather quick. So just kind of keep it tempered. Get ready for tonight's ball game. And as a team, answer this question. How do you, if you don't stop him, how do you at least slow down Kawhi?
We just got to follow the game plan and, you know, see where it go from there. You know, we're going to make adjustments throughout the game. Like I said, you really can't, you know, stop a great player like that. You just got to try to, you know, make it tough for him.
That's it. He's absolutely right. Just make it tough for him. Just make it tough. Then he goes on to talk about, you know, Chris Middleton and the defense that he has played this season.
Chris, you know, been more locked in, you know, on that end of the floor. You know, especially when you got a lot of, you know, players really, you know, locked in on that end of the floor. It just makes everybody on it, you know, out there who's on the court at that particular time, you know, lock in on, you know, what the game plan is.
He's not going to give you much. Just locking in on the game plan at that end of the floor. That's it. They've got some things ready for Kawhi and company, without a doubt. Now, Lowry is the other guy you got to pay attention to, and this guy's probably a future Hall of Famer as well.
Kyle's just a great point guard. He's a, you know, great player, man. All star for a reason. You know, probably, you know, I think he's probably going to Hall of Fame at some point in his career. So, I'm just, you know, grateful to be in this position. You know, to get to go against him. You know, he's did a great job, you know, leading his team. He probably didn't score, you know, as much as, you know, everybody, you know, hope he would, but the impact he got on that team is, you know, I see it.
Lowry is a quality player. If both him and Kawhi begin to go off, then it's not as easy walking the park. Look, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just simply saying I just don't see how the Bucks can lose. It's going to be hard fought, but the Bucks, I just think, are a better team and eventually will come out on the winning end of the majority of these ball games, if not 4 out of 5. Now, Bledsoe, does winning this season series against Toronto, they went to 3-1 against Toronto this year, does it mean anything?
It don't mean nothing. It's 0-0. You know, we're going in with that mindset that, you know, we're taking the game at a time. The regular season is the regular season. We had a, you know, great, you know, regular season, so we just want to keep, you know, staying in a good place we're in right now, and that's focus on each other and, you know, going out and playing as hard as we can game one.
There you go. Doesn't mean anything. Just go. Right now, he's right. You're at 0-0. You got to go out and you got to beat them all over again, and that's exactly the mindset to have. Hey, speaking of mindsets, just put it in the back of your mind or write it down, put it in your phone. Sunday, September 1st, we have our 12th, I can't believe it's 12 annual, but 12th annual Big Units Poker Run benefiting the Fisher House of Wisconsin, presented by Bud Light. And we are going to leave from the Budweiser facility, Beachwood Sales and Service, down in New Berlin. And we are going to ride anywhere from 85 to 120 miles, depending on the route. We haven't finalized the route yet. And going to end up out in Oconomowoc at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. So if you're going to get a little bit, if you're looking for a motorcycle or motor clothes or anything this year, head out and see our friends out at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. Where, by the way, they're just selling bikes like crazy, crazy. Craig, the general manager out there, really good guy. Robert, the owner. Diane out there. But say hi to Jody in the motor clothes department as well. Say hi to Jody. She's good people. And so they're going to be a part of this, and we can't wait to be a part of this again this year. Also, it's brought to you by our great friends over there at Stoley's Hog Alley. Go to stoleyshogalley.com, S-T-O-L-L-E-Y-S, hog, H-O-G-G, alley.com, out in Oconomowoc, where they have great breakfasts on the weekends and a terrific place. You don't have to be a rider to go in there. Just head on out, enjoy yourself, a lot of good people. And then our friends, Sean and the whole gang, at Epoxy Flooring Done Right. That's where they're going to sit down, discuss your epoxy flooring project, all the available options, whether it's residential or business, doesn't matter, industrial, they've got it all, and they do it at an incredible price with a 25-year guarantee. Call Sean, 262-443-2852, 262-443-2852. Again, 262-443-2852, or go to Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Do what I did, because it's that stuff's awesome. All right, more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.